The Tigers are set for their first ever NIT championship game. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are discussing a dominant performance by Auburn basketball over Illinois State, the NIT semifinal at historic Hinkle Fieldhouse. What a win for the Tigers to advance their first ever NIT championship game. Make sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network and hit the like button on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts, as we'll break down that championship game this upcoming weekend. And right now, we talk about how the Tigers got there, and we'll go up against the Tulsa Golden Hurricane, kind of a preview of that matchup and what Tulsa brings to the table on Sunday at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So, like I said, this was a dominant performance, but more importantly, it was a complete performance by this Auburn basketball team, led by Stephen Pearl in his first season, making it this far in the tournament. And it was interesting. I want to go ahead and get this out of the way before we get into the nitty-gritty of this ball game and how it panned out. It was interesting going on social media for this NIT semifinal game, and the narrative has kind of flipped. We talked about how kind of frustrating it was to see the national narrative be so against Auburn over the course of the final weeks of the regular season, when the Tigers are trying to get into the NCAA tournament and making their case, and just the discourse around that. I saw several guys kind of put out there, hey, credit to Auburn for playing. And I'm going to go find that, because I actually want to call those guys out by name. Credit to them for doing that. But just really a positive response for Auburn to play in this tournament. One, first of all, just to do that. And two, the fact that they've come out and they've played really well in this tournament. They played like they care. They play like they understand they're playing for a championship. And the first guy I saw was Chris Vanini with The Athletic. He said, shout out to Auburn basketball for playing in the NIT and sticking together when other power conference teams didn't. They will be better next season because of this. That's a big point about what I'm going to get into later on here in this episode. And then the other one I want to call out, T3 Bracketology on Twitter and X. He said, I respect the hell out of Auburn for not being a baby and playing in the NIT. Any team invited to the NIT that doesn't lose its coach yet decides not to play is a baby. Auburn didn't take its ball and run home when it wasn't selected for the NCAA tournament a few weeks ago. It feels like that was a long time ago now. Auburn has won four games since that selection show happened. And now it's led to an opportunity to win in the NIT championship, which will be the first ever for Auburn basketball in its history. It would be the first time an SEC team has done it since, I believe, since 2006, when South Carolina went back to back. So just overall, you know, when you add in the context that the Tigers were 32-6 last year and in the Final Four, yeah, it stings a little bit, and it is what it is. But I still think that overall you have to be pleased with the way the Tigers are finishing the season with authority and with strength. And like I said, when you look ahead, hopefully a lot of these guys that played so well last night are going to be back for 26-27 and are ready to really improve upon how they performed this past season and know that, look, they did some things in this season that were really impressive, beating Florida on the road, beating St. John's, and I mean, hanging with Houston as long as they did in early November. Those are things to build off of, and of course, a trip to the NIT championship is something else to build off. And how did the Tigers do it? 88-66 over Illinois State, in a game where Auburn just jumped out from the get-go, and the Redbirds, they hung in there early on. Auburn's defense didn't really find its groove until the second half. because in the first half, when you look at the numbers, both teams shot north of 50% from the field and from three. That was the key going into this, was how Auburn was going to defend against the three ball, as both teams just, one, you got Auburn, who has not defended the three well at all throughout the season, and then Illinois State, who a majority of those points come from, and that's gonna be a factor on Sunday as well against a good Tulsa team. But in this first half, Illinois State 16-28. That's a 57.1% clip. 6-12 from three. You can do that math. That's 50%. But on the other hand, Auburn shot it even better. 21-32 and 7-11. That's 65.6% and 63.6% from three. That's huge. And it came from really everyone. Everyone was efficient. Everyone was getting involved. That was the difference between Auburn and Illinois State in that first half. Of all the players that played in the first half, everyone had a point, at least. Blake Michalik scored a basket. Sebastian Williams-Adams hit a three. Caden Magwood hit a nice pull-up jumper. Philip Jovich, Keyshawn Hall, Elijah Freeman, and Kevin Overton, Taha Pettiford obviously scored as well. So those are the kinds of things that separate you and get you into championship games when you're in a tournament like this. And it doesn't stop there, because I thought Keyshawn Hall had his best performance of the NIT so far. Total 24 points on 10 of 16 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, and 38 minutes of action. So Pettiford didn't look half bad either. 12 points, 4 of 9 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, but 5 assists to 1 turnover. That's what we're talking about. And Pettiford, on that note, looks really good on the defensive end. 2 blocks and 2 steals for him in this game. And those 2 blocks were really solid. And his defensive ability, Elijah Freeman's defensive ability, they were forcing turnovers like crazy. So those Kevin Overton and Keyshawn Hall, they had their way as well. Here's a good number. Here's a good note. 5 Auburn players with 2 or more steals. Pettiford had 2. Overton had 2. Elijah Freeman had 3. Hall had 2. And Philip Jovich had 2. That leads to a big advantage in points off turnovers. Auburn had 26. Illinois State had 9. 18 turnovers by Illinois State to Auburn's 9. You can't ask for a much better performance than that. In that phase of the game. And really, it's hard for me to complain about much from this game. I mean, I guess giving up 10 offensive rebounds to a small Redbirds team isn't ideal. It only led to 9 second chance points. Auburn got 7 offensive rebounds and outscored Illinois State in second chance points. So, like I said, that it's hard for me to gripe about that when you outscore them in second chance opportunities. So I can't emphasize enough how good of a performance this looked. And you look back at the first 3 rounds of the NIT, the South Alabama game, boy, that was a sloppy first half. The Seattle game, the Red Hawks team just really fought back in the final 5 minutes of that game to make it close. And then Nevada was a good test and a good challenge that showed that, led by an experienced head coach in Steve Alford. And now Auburn comes out and shows what it should do against a Missouri Valley Conference team. No disrespect to the MVC, but just it's a mid-major conference, and Auburn should have handled business against Illinois State, and it did, led by as many as 24 points in this game, won by 22. It's hard to nitpick at this one. Philip Jovich was awesome. He scores 10-plus points for the 3rd straight game. 13 points on 6 of 8 shooting, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. That's the thing. We talked about how he and Sebastian Williams-Adams have had to fill in for the absent Keyshawn Murphy in this tournament. And obviously, Jovich has played there a majority of the season. It's probably not his natural position, and he's figured it out. But a guy like Williams Adams hasn't, and he's just had, and that's why, I forget which game it was in this tournament, but he had a good performance, but he was really hard on himself about improving and fixing the mistakes that he made. Whereas the coaching staff is like, hey, it's all right. Like, you haven't practiced this all season long. You're jumping into this position. It's all right. Cause he wasn't making major mistakes. They were very minor, and you probably wouldn't even notice it unless you're really watching the film or playing in the game. And Sebastian doesn't care. He's a winner, and he wants to really show that. And he had a huge shooting night. 9 points on 3 of 3 from 3-point range. 4 rebounds and 3 assists. And let me tell you, if Sebastian Williams Adams starts to shoot the 3-ball like he did last night against Illinois State, I mean, look out. He will be a threat for years to come in college and in the NBA. If he's able to shoot the ball with that physique that he has and the way he moves the ball and plays defense, yeah, if he can develop that 3-ball consistently, that would be a huge step in the right direction. Kevin Overton, my word, he was just dynamite from three. 16 points, 5 of 5 shooting, and they were all from three. 5 of 5 from 3-point range. And this is where I want to talk about the future a little bit. So one other note before I do that. Elijah Freeman, on the box score, just it looks like he was probably not, he did not have his best game, but 6 points and 3 rebounds, 2 assists, like I said, 3 steals and 1 block. He made an impact, a really big impact. And it seemed like he had one drive on a turnover. He gets fouled when he was going up for a dunk, and it looked like he might have landed kind of weird, and he got taken out of the game. He played 25 minutes in this game. That was the first time he had been on the bench since the South Alabama game a couple of weeks ago in the NIT. He played 36 minutes in that game. So, I mean, he took a breather for just one media timeout period. Then he played 40 minutes against Seattle and against Nevada. So, hey, look, props to Elijah Freeman. He will hopefully be a big part of the future as well, like Kevin Overton, it was talked about in the postgame, and Stephen Pearl, he was asked about it, and he's a junior. He has the opportunity to come back and play his senior year at Auburn, and that's notable because Kevin has never stayed at a school for more than 1 year. He's bounced around quite a bit in this transfer portal era of finding your best fit and unlimited transfers. And he was asked about it. Stephen Pearl was, the potential of bringing him back. And he says it's important. He's having the best offensive year of his career, and he would love to have KO back. And that KO loves Auburn. And that even goes back to the regular season when, on Tiger Talk on the Auburn Sports Network, when he was asked about it, he said that exact thing, that he wants to come back to a school for a second year because he's not done that. And this will be his only opportunity to do so. And, I mean, that's the thing. He would be a heck of a leader to bring back, I think, for 2026 and 2027. And like I said, that can lead to guys like Elijah Freeman and Tahad Pettiford and Filip Jovich, Sebastian Williams Adams, and so on and so on, also returning to the Tigers for another season under Stephen Pearl, second year under Coach Pearl. So I just think that's so important, and that's all because this team decided to play in this tournament. I know a lot of fans were fed up and just didn't even want to fool with it after not being selected for the NCAA tournament. And I'm sure there's still fans out there that are about it, but it doesn't matter. This team's here. This team is playing its rear end off and is playing for a championship on Sunday. And doesn't matter if you like it or not, but if Auburn wins on Sunday, there will be that championship will be recognized in the rafters of Neville Arena. I doubt it's going to be as front facing as that big Final Four banner on the front of the arena is, but look, you'll be able to look up in the rafters inside and you'll see something about that. Auburn's got to win first, obviously, but hey, point being is this is a chance to make history. No, it's not exactly the history Auburn wanted to make this season. Auburn wanted to be in the NCAA tournament in the Big Dance and potentially playing across the street from where it will play on Sunday in the NIT Championship at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's not, though. So it's playing the cards that it was dealt, and it's doing a great job at that. And again, on to the NIT Championship game. That's on Sunday at 7 o'clock, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, home of the Indiana Pacers. It'll be against Tulsa. Tulsa beat New Mexico last night, 74-69. And when you look at where Tulsa is rated and looks, it's a 30-win team with that win over New Mexico. Out of the American Athletic Conference, 55th in KenPom. Auburn moved up, by the way, to 37th in KenPom after last night's win. It was sitting at the 40 spot. Now it's up there. And it's something interesting. I didn't even think about looking at this. I wonder where its defense rates now. 113. So top 10 offense and 113th in defense. That's the trend we talked about really all season long. And I was hoping it might bump up a little bit, but it didn't. So Tulsa is similar in the aspect it's similar to Illinois State in the aspect that most of its points come from three. I guess not most of it, but 38.1% of its point distribution is from three, 39.5% from two. It's 358th in the nation and its point distribution from two. 365 Division I teams, mind you. And that 38.1% clip is 31st, but also its free throw point distribution is 22.4%, 59th in the country. So for reference, the Division I average for point distribution from three-pointers is 31.4%. Tulsa's points, 38.1% of their points come from three. And then the two-pointers, the national average is 48.4% or 48.8%. So nearly 10% lower than a national average. And then the free throw percentage is about 2.5% higher than the national average. So this team's going to shoot threes and try to get to the free throw line. This is a style that has certainly become more prevalent over the last few years, and is one. It's an exciting brand to watch for sure, and it can really. And here's another key. I didn't even see this part until just now. The 3-point percentage is high, 38.9%. This is the ultimate. I mean, this is where it all culminates. Auburn's poor 3-point defense against the fifth best 3-point shooting team in the country. Auburn's 344th in the nation in defending the three. 37.1% is what teams shoot against the Tigers this season. And Tulsa shoots 38.9% against teams all year long. And in conference, it was the best 3-point shooting team in the American Athletic, and its percentage was actually better. It jumped from 38.9% to 39.5% in conference action. So I really think that this is going to be the toughest matchup yet. That's easy to say. If you just look at the KenPom ratings, Tulsa's rated higher than Nevada and Illinois State, both those teams in the top 100. So it's definitely going to be a different matchup. And I would imagine Tulsa's also quite a bit larger than Illinois State. It actually isn't. There's no seven-footers on this roster. Tylan Riley, 6'3", and kind of the go-to guy. David Green is your largest contributor. He's 6'7", 225. And then from there, you've got Tyler Barron, who's 6'10". And outside of that, everyone's 6'6 or shorter. So this is a a smaller roster that Auburn can hopefully take advantage of on the offensive end and won't let Tulsa work on the inside. So, yeah, this is setting up to be kind of one of those matchups again where you go in like, can Auburn do this again? Can Auburn defend the three ball well enough? You go to the Illinois State game. The Redbirds in the first half shot it well, 50% from three. But in the second half, Auburn figured it out. Illinois State shot just 4 of 13 from three, 30.8%. And three of those 4 three-point shots came from Tyreek Coleman. He was 3 of 5 from three. And he kind of just caught a hot streak. That was all in a pretty short amount of time. So, yeah, I just think that that's a – I think Auburn's defense is hopefully in a good spot where it feels comfortable, it feels confident after that performance against Illinois State in the second half, allowing just 28 points in the second half that it can get the job done against the Golden Hurricane. Another note, Auburn scored 51 points in that first half against Illinois State. That was just the third time this season that Auburn has scored 50 points in the first half. It's courtesy of Scott Scroggins. Gave him a shout-out last episode, doing an incredible work with the Sports Information Department at Auburn. But the Tigers scored 57 against Queens, 55 against Jackson State, and then 51 last night against Illinois State in the first half. So just, again, all of these milestones and kind of notes are big in that aspect of just, hey, look, this team is playing as hard as it has all year long. The heart is there, and this team cares about the championship. It's not going through the motions and it's facing bad opponents. It's going out and it's wanting to win and win by large margins. Another fun one. This is a big one going into the championship game. Prior to this season, Auburn's last win in the NIT was against Tulsa, who Auburn will obviously face in the championship on Sunday. That last NIT win before 2026 was in 2009, before Auburn ultimately fell to Baylor in the NIT quarterfinal at Beard Eves Coliseum. So just a big note there. And yeah, I just think that this team, like I said, continues to improve and look better. And of course, it's one of those things like, well, why does it matter that they're improving in April? It matters because, like I said, going into the offseason, hopefully that all carries over and turns into momentum. That's thinking about. On the last episode, go and check it out, by the way. Skip through all the preview of the Illinois State game, and we've got a great discussion about Brian Kloman as a new general manager and then Narcisse Ngoy joining the Auburn team next season out of the French Elite Two League. That's a great kind of look ahead to what Auburn's trying to do this offseason. And with Brian Kloman, it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be much easier, but that's going to be his primary focus is that recruiting, while the rest of the coaching staff can really hone in on their roles and obviously do their recruiting as well. But Kloman, I feel like, is going to target that transfer portal and maybe focus on retention as well with the current roster. And then Narcisse Ngoy, we've talked about how important it is to get an interior presence and a rim runner and a shot blocker. And he's exactly that at 7 foot tall. And he led that French Elite Two League in rebounding and blocks this past season. So like I said, go check that out. It'll be linked here at the end of this video. And it just shows that this staff is, while it's focused on the games ahead, last night's Illinois State game and now the Tulsa game, it's also looking ahead to the offseason and how important the transfer portal is. Coach Pearl discussed that in his pre-Illinois State presser. And just like, hey, look, we're trying to win this championship. That's first and foremost. But also more important is getting back to the NCAA tournament next year and competing for an SEC championship. And to do that, it's going to take a heavy transfer portal haul, and it started with Narcisse Ngoi and Brian Clomen's hiring. So, yeah, just what a fun game that was between the Tigers and the Redbirds, for specifically the Tigers. And now it's on to the NIT Championship, 7 o'clock Sunday, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, Indianapolis, and we'll break it all down after that one wraps up. So make sure you keep it tuned right here. Hit the like button on YouTube, then subscribe, and go subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, because we've also got a ton of action from the Barn Baseball Show, all of our other shows talking about Auburn football spring practice. Tigers baseball got a big win over Arkansas, scored its most runs against the Razorbacks since 2017. That's wild. And then I'm sure you saw the social media post. Cam Newton was in town. Tequila Spikes was in town, both taking in that Auburn scrimmage in Jordan-Hare Stadium last night. And man, I'll tell you what, that Cam going up to dap up Byron Brown was an awesome sight to see. And it gets you hyped for this upcoming football season. And we're going to have all that covered right here on the Barn Podcast Network. So make sure you're subscribed and hit the like button so you don't miss an update or a show or an episode. And we'll have you covered all throughout the offseason and into the regular season. And that goes for Auburn basketball too, here on the Barn Hoops Podcast. So we've got the breakdowns for the NIT Championship coming up on Monday morning. And then we'll look ahead to the offseason, because the season will be done then. So we'll go ahead and look ahead to what's to come for Auburn basketball with the transfer portal opening. That'll be on Tuesday. And then just kind of start to have final thoughts about the first season under head coach Stephen Pearl. 21 wins, looking for a 22nd on Sunday. So hopefully we have it. And thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.